Hey, well, good morning to everyone here, and especially Charleston. Good morning. We're so glad you're here. I mean, this is your second week. Last week, incredible reports from your grand opening, and I'm telling you what, I can't be more excited for the Fields Church, because we might be in two different rooms today, but we are one church, and just knowing what God did in your lives and knowing that what Pastor Tim said, like, 10 to 15 people giving their lives to Jesus, that's why we exist. That's why you're bringing more friends. That's why you might be sitting here today, is because people care about you. I can't say enough that we are so excited for you guys in Charleston. Just keep doing what you're doing. It's working, and the church is growing, and great things are going to happen, and you just keep loving on people. So, man, we're so excited for Charleston. I just want to get into some teaching today, because you know we've started a new series, and it's all about living your best life. And we don't want life just to be okay. You know what I'm talking about? Just like that video you saw, that Geico commercial, the tattoo guy. Like, we don't want it to be okay. We want it to be the best life that you can live. And a lot of people, that's missing. And I know that's the goal. Like, we know we want to live the best life. But the reality is, there's just something that can be missing. And we need to find that you can live a full life in God. That's what, like, my life verse, something that's so passionate for me, and I've tried to carry into the DNA of who we are at the Fields Church, is John 10:10. And I want you to see this. It says that the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy, but my purpose, this is Jesus talking. He says, my purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life. Other translations say, give them life to the full. Give them an abundant life. Give them something that's overflowing. That is the best life possible. And I want you guys, I want us all today to have that. What you guys want to do, there's some things today you're definitely going to want to take some notes on. So if you want to take your phones out and open up the Fields Guide, you can follow these scriptures. You can follow our notes today. You can go right to that. And so if you want to open that up and look at the fields.guide, follow with me, because I want you to live the best life that you can. And so last week we kicked this whole thing off and talked about, listen, there's always a seat at the table for you. Like, you may have been wandering around and you may have been trying to find something better, and you realize there's no better place than in the arms of God. And some people are running away from life, and you have to turn around and realize God's running after you. So go ahead, and you might want to watch that from last week. If you weren't able to be with us this week, you can watch that. You can listen to that. You can go to our website and watch that. Today, though, we're going to be talking about living the best life is, now listen to this. This is important. Is caring for others and being cared for. Like, what's that mean? Like, you, for us to actually care for someone, I'm going to have the best life. You're going to see today, I'm going to unpack this the way Jesus teaches it, that when you and I actually start caring for other people and we put ourselves in the position to be cared for, you realize this is what life is all about. This is what life is, the way it's been designed for us. And so, and I realize not everybody understands that. In fact, some people do not understand the why behind church. Like, they don't understand why church exists. The church has a bad reputation. They discredit that. They think they have these preconceived notions of what Christianity is, what church is, and what it means to even be here today. And I get the fact that as a church across the United States, sometimes we have not set ourselves up well. Like, we sometimes our reputation has been deserved. I get that. But I want us to understand the whole reason that we can have the best life is because God says, if you just live the way that I've designed you to live, you're going to realize that, one, you can love other people, but then you're going to be loved, and it's all going to make sense. And the way he tells this is he tells it through a story. Last week, we unpacked a parable, another story. Today, I want to look at the book of Luke, and it's the same thing. I want us to look at a story today, and I want us to understand what's going on. There was somebody in the crowd of Jesus that was trying to trick Jesus. There was someone in the crowd that didn't like Christianity, didn't like people following him, and so it was actually a religious law expert. You know, those attorneys always trying to create problems. It was a lawyer, but it was a religious lawyer, someone who knew every little detail of the law. And it says this, let's actually take a look at it. And it's Luke chapter 10. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life. Now, like, think about this. This guy stands up when Jesus is teaching and pretty much stops the show. And then he says, what do we have to do to have the best life, to have this eternal life, to have this life that you're promising that is better than anything else that anybody's ever had? What do we have to do? Now, the reason there's a trick here, because there was a couple different thoughts in this. And back in this culture, there was these rabbis that had different ways of, you know, teaching and stuff. And so one group of rabbis had one answer and another group had another answer. And by this attorney, this lawyer, this religious law expert trying to trick Jesus, the reason they asked Jesus this question was they wanted to put Jesus right in the middle of the controversy so someone was going to hate him. Someone's not going to like his answer. Have you ever been stuck in a situation that's like a lose-lose? Like, no matter what I say, someone's not going to be happy. And so this religious expert thinks that they've positioned Jesus where no matter what he says, he's going to be in trouble with the crowd. He's like, so how do you answer this? What do you say about eternal life? What do you think we should do? What side of the controversy do you fall on? And this is what he says. This is just the way Jesus handles things, and it's such a good job. Let's look at this. He goes, well, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? He connects the dots back to Moses. I mean, Moses was the author of the Torah. The Torah is the first five books of the Bible, and it's the law of the Israelites. It's what they were following to know how to live life. And he goes, I don't need to get in the middle of this controversy. What does Moses say? And how do you read it? You're the attorney. How do you read it? And this is what he answers. He says, well, it says that you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength, and all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, you're right. He goes, do this and you will live. If you do those things, he goes, that is the life that we're talking about. If you love God with all of your heart, all your being, everything within you, and love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to live the best life that God has for you. That's what he says. He goes, you're right. That's it. You're absolutely right. That is the answer. Love God and love your neighbor. But see, the man had something going on relationally in his life because this law expert like takes a step back and then he asks Jesus, he says, so he wants to justify his action. So he asks Jesus, so who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Because there's something going on in this guy's life. Like, we don't know exactly what's going on, but we know that there's got to be something that his heart is not beating for everybody in his life. It could have been an ethnicity issue. It could have been an economic issue. It could have been the people across the street, the people across the region. We don't know exactly what was going on, but we do know that there was some relationship conflict where he was like, not everybody's my neighbor, right, Jesus? I don't have to love everybody. There's some religious group out there that I don't like, or there's some people group out there that I don't get along with. And so Jesus, the story, we don't really, it doesn't unpack enough where we know the controversy, but we do know there's something in his heart. He's like, I just don't really love everybody. I mean, come on, do you have any neighbors that you're like, I don't know if I get along with that one. That person doesn't mow their yard when they're not supposed to mow their yard, or they take their dog for the walk, and they don't take the plastic bag. You know what I'm talking about? They don't pick up. So I knew I was going to be talking about this week, and I was like, okay, there's got to be some good stuff like about neighbors that are fighting and stuff. And so there's a story of a neighbor that was so mad that their other neighbors were not putting their trash cans. They lived in a community where you're supposed to put a nice little wall around the trash cans. And so they weren't doing that, so they called the cops and called the city, and they said, you know, the people at this address are not following the code, and the police had to get involved. And so by like some city code, they had to build a barrier around their trash cans. And so the neighbors, who were really ticked off at the other neighbor, said, fine, we'll build a barrier around the trash cans. And they built this. They're like, There you go. There's the barrier around our trash cans. There you go. Now everything's good. You know, I bet they just decided to just deliver cookies to each other at Christmas. You know, it's like, there's another story that someone didn't like the upkeep of their neighbor's house and their property, and they had this kind of weathered wooden fence, and they said, you know, they sent them a nasty note that said, just take care of your property, and please, you know, can you please, you know, just paint that fence, and they signed it, Bob, paint your fence. And then he shows up, and he goes, look, Bob, I painted my fence. You know, again, I don't think they're probably sharing Christmas cookies, you know, during the holidays. This is neighbors that can't get along. These are people who are like, I don't really like that person. I don't really know if I care about that person. And so this religious scholar is kind of saying, do we have to love everybody? You know, what's it mean to be a neighbor? And so Jesus is trying to say, listen, being a neighbor is anybody that you come in contact with. And if you're going to live the best life possible, your heart is going to beat for anybody. And then he continues to tell a story. He goes, I'll answer the question. I'll answer it. He goes, Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. Now, this road would have been a pretty long and windy road. And this was a pretty well-trafficked road where if you were going to Jerusalem to Jericho, it was a dangerous road. And to be attacked by bandits actually was kind of common because there were so many like switchbacks, you wouldn't know what was around the corner. And so he's telling this story. He's like, there's this Jewish man, and he's traveling the road that you guys travel on all the time. He's bringing him in into this story. And he was attacked by bandits, and they stripped him of his clothes, and they beat him up, and they left him half dead beside the road. So Jesus is talking to these Jewish religious elites, and he's saying, there was a Jewish man just like us. Like Jesus was a Jewish carpenter. He's like, there's this Jewish man. And they're leaning in going, yeah, just like us. Could have been my cousin. Could have been the business owner down the road. It could have been the neighbor. He goes, there's this Jewish man. And he's heading down the road that you and I travel down all the time between Jericho and Jerusalem. And these bandits came out and they ransacked him and they left him half dead. They stripped him of his clothes and they took everything away from him. And you could just sense like these religious guys, because they live by the letter of the law, there would have been a little bit of anger building up. There would have been a little bit of no one treats my brother like that. There would have been a little bit of, that's not right. And in the back of their minds, like, who are these bandits? Like, who would have done this? Jesus continues the story and he says, by chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed the other side of the road and he passed him by. A temple assistant walked by, walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by the other side. So he just gets done telling the story that there's a Jewish man that's been beat up and laying there half naked and almost dying. And then he just continues the story and says, now there's a priest that walks by. Now this would have been like that was their spiritual leader. This is, you know, they were the religious law attorneys. Well, the priest would have been, that was their guy. And he goes, now a priest walks by and he says, he didn't do anything. And even one of the assistants walks by and guess what? He looked right at him and he just walked around and he didn't do anything either. And he just keeps going. He just says that like it's just so common, but everything in them would have went, Jesus, what are you doing with this story? Why are you telling us about a priest and an assistant that didn't? And then all of a sudden they would have started conjuring up all these excuses for the priest and the assistant, because you know there's a lot of times if a priest was on duty and heading to the temple that they couldn't touch anything that was unclean or dead. So if there's somebody laying there half dead and they don't know they're dead, they couldn't touch them. Or maybe they're really busy. These guys was working like 1 week on and 1 week off, and maybe they were heading on this journey and had to go to the temple to work. And Jesus does not give any excuses why the priest or the temple worker. He just lays it out there and says, two people that you're highly connected to and that you know walked right by and they didn't do anything. And then he goes on to tell a story. He goes, then came a despised Samaritan. Now, as soon as he would have said despised Samaritan, they would have been like, yeah, Jesus, the despised Samaritan. I bet that was the bandit. You know, they didn't like the Samaritans. The Samaritans and the Jews were cultural enemies. And so Jesus goes, and so there was a despised Samaritan, and they said, you know, the Samaritan. And he goes, and he came along, like, yeah, and he probably tried to pickpocket him and try to take whatever was left on his body. And Jesus goes, no, when he saw the man, did he try to steal his belt and see if there was any more pouch of money on him? No. He felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and the bandages, and he bandaged them up. And then he put the man on his own donkey, and he took him to an inn where he took care of him. He actually gave the innkeeper more money and said, hey, I've got a couple more business things to do. So as long as he's here, here's money to take care of him. And Jesus is like, that's like mic drop time. Because remember, the question was, what do we do to live the best life possible, to have this eternal life? And now he's saying there's this despised Samaritan. Like the Samaritan and the Jew is like Superman to Kryptonite. They just can't be in the same room, and they shouldn't even be in the same story. And Jesus is talking about Samaritans and Jewish people and rabbis all at the same time. And the Samaritan ends up being like the good guy who's compassionate and cares for this person. And it's Jesus is, he just keeps going. He's presenting this case to an attorney who's asked the question, what's it mean to inherit the best life possible, the eternal life? And what do I have to do? And Jesus says, well, you got to love your neighbor. And the guy's like, define what a neighbor is. And so he goes back to this after he's explained all this. He says, so of all these guys, the priest, the temple assistant, and the despised Samaritan, he goes, which one of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? And Jesus asked, and that's what Jesus asked. And so the man had to reply. He said, you can just imagine this religious attorney at this point kind of takes another step back and has to say, well, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus says, yes. And then he says, and go do the same. Go and do the same. Go and do the same. That's what it means. Remember, he's answering the question, what should I do to inherit eternal life? How can I live this life so I can have the best life possible? And Jesus says, I'm going to tell you a story. And it's going to be a story of compassion. And I want you to put yourself in that story, and I want you to go and do the same. He tells them a story of compassion. There's two ways for us to look at this story today, for us to digest this, to personalize this, to walk out of the room today knowing I can live differently. I can live my best life. I can walk out of here going, I'm living my best life because I'm going to do what Jesus told me to do. Go and do the same. Two ways of looking at this, and the first one would be this, is living your best life involves caring for others. That's why Jesus tells the story. He says you have to care for others. It involves caring. Now let's think about this. What did that look like for the Samaritan? The Samaritan did a couple things. One, he totally defied culture. Compassion for someone else is not, I wonder what the other person thinks. I wonder what my neighbor thinks about this. I wonder what the newspaper is going to think about this. I wonder what my family is going to think about this. No. It's the Samaritan completely defies culture and says, it doesn't matter what anybody else says, and it doesn't matter what culture says about this situation. I'm going to share compassion. Even though this was a cultural enemy, the Samaritan and the Jew, two enemies of the culture, the Samaritan says, I don't care what culture says. I'm going to care for this person. I'm going to share compassion, and I'm not going to wonder what other people are thinking. The second thing we see that the Samaritan did is he stopped. He stopped and he paused, and he took the time to help someone. He was the only one. Did I mention that I don't like this story as a pastor? Because the priest and the temple assistant, like We just walked right by. We didn't help. It's not like the pastor's best moment when we read these stories, because it's the pastor just kept going, the priest kept going, the temple assistant kept going. The Samaritan stops and serves. And he took time. Like, if you're taking notes on your phone, just like, I need to take time to help people. You've got to keep, we got to make this a priority. The other thing the Samaritan did was he shared his resources. He had the oil and wine and the bandages. And then he even used his own money to pay for the inn and said, whatever it takes, I just want to take care of this person. And I'm going to take something that is mine and offering it to someone I don't even know. And I'm going to be generous. I'm going to give this away he's giving this away to someone who's a cultural enemy. He's like, I don't know this person. I don't know their name. I don't know what the situation. All I know is I have something and I can help them. I'm going to give this away. I'm going to help this person. The Samaritan shared his resources. And I look at all those things and like, I get that. Like, okay, I'll share my resources. Like, as a family, and we love supporting missions, and we'll share our resources, and we want to be generous, and I want to teach my kids to be generous. And I do struggle with like slowing down and taking time, but there are times I just have to hit the brakes and go, we're going to help this person. We're going to be a part of this situation. And in defying culture, that's not like a big deal to me. Like, I got thick skin. I don't really care what other people think of me. I'm like, let's just do the right thing. But this last thing that the Samaritan did, this one gets to me. The very last thing that he did that we need to understand was if you're going to care for someone else, it gets messy. It gets messy. Think about this. The Samaritan, this guy was, the Jewish man was laying on the ground, half dead. His clothes had been stripped off, and he's all bloodied. This guy who's on a horse, gets off his donkey, and he gets down, and he's caring for this guy who's all bloody. This was before the nice emergency kit gloves. Like, he's not strapping on the nice rubber gloves going, before I touch this guy, I better put on my nice gloves. No, it's like, he's like, oh my gosh, this guy's just been beat up, and he's getting his little wine and oil and bandages, and he didn't like have Band-Aids, so he's probably ripping off a piece of his robe or something. He's getting his rags, and he's cleaning this person up, and he's all bloodied. But if it wasn't not just that, you know what else he did? It says that he put him on his own donkey, you know what? You have to get down and you got to scoop someone up. And if you're going to scoop someone up, you got to like hold them close to you. This is a complete body weight. And he's holding this person close to him that's naked and bloody and beat up. And he's getting him close to him so he can hoist him up onto this animal. That's messy. This guy was as close. He is bringing his mess very close to him so he can help him. And that's a part of me that goes, that's tough. I remember the day we were sitting in our offices at the Fields Church right before we did kind of that remodel in Mattoon, where our offices were more in the front part of the building, and we had a couple windows that showed out, like we could look out to the road. And I remember I was sitting there just kind of doing my work, and Pastor Evan was in a different office and he was doing his work. And all of a sudden I hear Pastor Evan, he's our executive pastor at the Fields Church. He goes, whoa, 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 car flipped over. Go, Travis. And he goes, I'm going to call 911. You go, make sure they're okay. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? And I just remember I get up and I look out the window and I see this car like over on its side, and it was right down the road from the church. And he's on the phone with 911, and I'm getting in my car. This is the lowest heroic moment that I could ever transparently share with you. I did not want to go there, and I had no idea what I was getting ready to see. Like, I did not want to see someone who was in a tragic wreck. And I had no idea what I was getting ready to come up on. And everything in me was, I don't like this. I do not want this. I'm gonna tell you, that was not a heroic day in my world. That was like, I was coward and did not want to get into the mess. I didn't want to see something I didn't want to see. I was scared of what I was getting ready to get involved in. Now, thankfully, when we got there, just to tell you a quick part of the story, when we got there, she had seatbelt on, she was okay, 911 came, the ambulance came, and she was talking to me, and it was good. Like, she went to the hospital, and she was released just immediately after. She was okay. She was completely okay, but there was a part of me going, I don't like this. Like, I don't like coming up on something that I know I'm going to get really messy in. And here's the Samaritan saying, hey, you've got to get messy if you're going to help somebody. Messy. Like, messy is like the common ingredient to compassion. Like if you think we can be compassionate and it's just going to be nice and neat and tidy, we're probably not really helping a whole lot. You know how easy it is just to write like a $10 check and say, okay, here, just take that. You know, I'm not, nothing against like giving $10 towards something. I think that's great that we're generous with that. But sometimes we're really afraid to get deep down and dirty and messy in somebody else's life and help them, like help them out of whatever they got themselves in. And as Jesus is painting this picture of this Samaritan who just picked up this bloody man and brought him close to his chest and hoisted him on the animal, his next line is, and go and do the same. Go and do the same. He's answering the question, what must I do to inherit the eternal life? And Jesus is saying, you gotta show compassion toward people. That's what it looks like to live your best life. Compassion isn't optional. It's a part of living the best life that God has for us. And then the second thing is not that it would just be involved caring for others, but living your best life also involves being cared for. That's what I love about the church. That's what I love about being a part of the Fields Church, is you're positioning yourself to know that not only are you going to love others, but others are going to love you. They're going to take care of you. In the story that Jesus shared, the Jewish man, he needed compassion and he needed cared for and he needed someone to just stop and help. But you know what he experienced? He experienced someone caring for him. He experienced someone helping him. And that's what God wants for all people. Doesn't matter what room we're in today. He wants all of us to experience someone loving us and caring about us. See, compassion goes both ways. Compassion is, the Jewish man received care and compassion, and the Samaritan man offered care and compassion. And both are important. And Jesus tells this story so we would understand that both caring for people and being cared for is birthed out of the heart of God. That's why Jesus shares the story. What's it look like to inherit? What do I have to do to inherit the eternal life? What do I have to do to live the best life possible? And Jesus says, well, the heart of the Father says, we love people, and people love you. Let me say it this way so we can understand for us at church, is the Fields Church. The Fields Church is modeled after the heart of God. Number one is we have to love people. That's what we're about. It's the model of God's heart. We have to love people. We have to be the Good Samaritan. We have to be the one sharing compassion. But the other part that's modeled after God's heart is that you are loved, because compassion goes both ways. If you want to live the best life possible, Jesus is saying, love people and experience his love. We need to love God. We need to love people. We need to experience the love of God, and we need to experience the love from his people. And when you and I, when we represent God, when the heart of God is seen inside of us, then we are living the best life that God has. You know why you're here today? You know why you're here today? It's because someone has invited you because they care about you. Or maybe you're here today because you need to hear this message that it's time for me to ratchet up the care for other people. It's one of those. It's either God is knocking at our heart saying, hey, start being more compassionate, Or maybe God is wrapping us up and saying, hey, I want you to know you are loved, because it's the heart of the Father. John, who's one of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, John writes this to help us understand this, of how much God loves us. He says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. See, it all starts there. It all starts understanding that God loves you so much that he has shown compassion by offering his Son to die on a cross so you and I could live for eternity with God. Just close your eyes with me for a moment. I want you to let this soak in. Close your eyes. Close your eyes right now. Let this soak in. God loves you. He gave you the best gift of salvation through his Son. And today is an opportunity to receive that gift. And then when we walk out these doors, we can begin to love others. And when we're doing that, we're living the best life possible. Let's pray together.